Hi, everybody. I'm Scott.
Hello, I'm Julie.
And this is A Good Story is Hard to Find podcast,
where two Catholic friends talk about the books and movies they love and the traces of the one reality that lie below the surface.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, today we're going to rob a bank. And then, I don't know, maybe go on a long walk.
I feel like greasing up a new baby. How about you?
That's a good idea.
Okay.
That's an excellent plan. We're going to talk about Three Godfathers, which is a movie from 1948 directed by John Ford and starring John Wayne and Pedro Armendariz. Gosh, I'm sorry I'm butchering that. And then Harry Carey Jr.
Yes.
Who sings really well.
Doesn't he?
I assume that was his voice. I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
Good.
And the movie was dedicated to his father.
Yes.
Who was Harry Carey, who was really good friends with John Ford.
Ah, yeah. Yeah, and isn't this a remake of a movie that Harry Carey had made early in his career?
Yeah, he was in the first one. Well, and this story, I believe 1919 is when the novella came out, and two silent movies, one of which John Ford made and The Prince Had Been Lost, and I believe that's the one that starred Harry Carey in it, were made. And then I think three talking movies fairly soon. I say fairly soon. 1948 was the latest one after that. So it was super popular. And then my exposure to it, the only reason I ever heard of it was because the first Christmas movie, I think, that we did for this podcast was Tokyo Godfathers, which was inspired by the fact that the Japanese writer-director had seen and loved this movie, Three Godfathers.
How about that? Yeah.
Which blew my mind because, wow, is it Japanese, but also Christian at the same time.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I should rewatch that movie. I did enjoy it.
Yeah, it made me want to pull it out. We're going to watch it this weekend
great.
Or sometime soon before Christmas.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, and what a strange Christmas movie this is.
Did you like it?
Oh, of course, yeah. I mean, what's not to like? You know, 1948, you got John Wayne in there in an atypical role, but he is, you know, definitely John Wayne. I say atypical because he's a villain of a kind, right? He's not vicious or anything, but yeah, he plays the bad guy, or one of the bad guys, quote unquote.
Well, the story says at the beginning, this is not the story of three wise men, but three bad men.
Mm,
but there is a baby and a star.
Right. A baby and a star and some redemption.
Yes, definitely some redemption.
Right.
So.
Yeah, what happens? Or what's the summary?
So there are three cowboy-looking guys, and they go into town, and after a brief chat with somebody who turns out to be the sheriff, they didn't look too happy about that. They rob a bank. And when they're robbing the bank, one of them gets shot in the shoulder. And they go off into the desert. They're in Arizona to get away. And they're super happy until they find out the sheriff is super smart also. And he goes and cuts off their access to all the places that have water. And they think of one place that they know of that the sheriff wouldn't expect them to go. They head up there and find an abandoned pioneer wagon with a woman in it who's having a baby. Her husband has been gone a long time, so he's probably dead. And she's clearly not doing well. She's dying. So when she has the baby, she lives long enough to say some tear-jerking words, which, you know, they touched my heart, about her poor little baby growing up with no mother. And then she makes these three men who've helped her, the Godfathers, and names the baby after them. Robert William Pedro Townsend. So these three men, even though they're bad men and robbers and don't know anything about babies, they luckily find a baby book and a Bible, and that's their guide for getting this baby to where it needs to go.
That's right. That's right.
And along the way, they have some personal developments and revelations too.
Mm-hmm.
While the sheriff's chasing him.
And it's Christmas Eve.
Oh, yes. It's Christmas Eve at the end of the story.
Christmas Eve in Arizona in the 19... Mm-hmm. Oh, well, when was the movie set?
Oh, yeah.
1800s, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's it.
Mm-hmm. That's the movie. That's the movie. But yeah, so yeah, John Wayne, that was good stuff. So he's like the leader of these three.
He's the main bad man.
Yeah. I particularly liked the first time they met the sheriff who, yeah. And we don't know it's the sheriff.
Right. He's gardening.
Yeah. He's gardening and he's got a funny name.
Yeah.
Pearly. What is it? Pearly.
Be sweet.
Yeah. Sweet. That's it. Be sweet. Yeah. And then, yeah, and then his real name is Pearly.
Yeah.
Pearly Sweet, which is also pretty good.
Right.
And so he was played by Ward Bond.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in John Wayne movies often, isn't he?
Yes, and he's in a lot of John Ford movies, too. They say John Ford just could be brutal to actors.
Hmm.
And they would all kind of cringe, but they all kept coming back because he would bring out the best in them.
Really?
Even that's John Wayne was like, oh my gosh, you don't want to get on his bad side. And the only one who never seemed to be fazed by it was Ward Bond.
Huh.
Which I found like, oh, okay.
He's like, yeah, this doesn't affect me.
Yeah, whatever. It's just how he is, I guess.
Wow.
But yeah, so this story is...
Holy smokes. John Wayne has made so many movies. I'm sorry. I'm just looking through. I was like, where is this, you know, in his life? And there's like... There's like 100 movies before and 100 movies after. It's unbelievable. Anyway, go ahead.
No, because he was funny. He was a, you know, football player and all this stuff, and his family moved, I guess. And then he made friends with a neighbor or something like that who was connected with Hollywood and said, oh, you ought to come on down to the lots. And this was what, in the 20s maybe?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when it says his first movies were. And so he was an extra in some things and got moved up. You know, he was good looking and tall and gradually started being in things.
Yeah, like,
and then Stagecoach, you know.
So the first thing he was ever in was a movie called Brown of Harvard. And he was a Yale football player, uncredited, 1926.
Yeah.
Yep. And then this movie was made in 1948. And right before that was Fort Apache and Red River.
Oh, yes. And that's it. He was riding high in his career at this point, too, because of Red River, which I'm just assuming you've seen Red River.
Maybe not. I don't think I have.
Stop and we'll continue after we watch. But watch it soon.
Yeah, okay.
It is the quintessential Western, and it's... I think it's Howard Hawks directed
it. Yeah, so Howard Hawks. I'm looking at IMDb here. This is not my brain, yeah.
And you would never have dreamed it was his first movie. He plays John Wayne's son. It is an amazing movie. And it's, yeah, everybody was like, John Wayne? Oh, my gosh. So he did this movie.
Oh, cool.
It was a couple movies later.
Yeah.
And pulled in people because of that.
Okay. And then directly after... There's a couple of movies I haven't heard of. Wake of the Red Witch, She Wore a Yellow Ribbon. Actually, I've heard of that one.
Oh, yeah.
And then The Flying Kentuckian, and then a couple that I do know. Sands of Iwo Jima and Rio Grande. That was 49 and 50.
Yep.
So, yeah. So this was the top of his career, I would say. Wouldn't you?
Well, I think he had a lot of tops
in
his career. Because you have when he did The Quiet Man, and, you know, those were later.
Yeah.
And it remember Rio Bravo we watched and talked about.
Sure.
Yeah. And that he was a lot older then.
The Shootist was his final film.
Oh yeah.
1976. So 50 years of career.
Right.
Unbelievable.
So you had a lot of highs and lows then.
Yeah. You bet. That's impressive.
But when you think about it, this movie cost $1,243,000. Which today would have been $12 million.
This and think the about Godfather's it. Movie? The three Godfathers cost $1 million?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. $12 million today. So it's like,
was that all in salary?
And think how few the stars there are and everything.
Yeah.
You know, and the box office though was would have been like 28 million today, almost 3 million at the time.
Wow.
So it was a success.
Amazing.
You can read a few contemporary reviews. The New York Times has all their reviews on back to the whenever.
Uh-huh.
And they were just like, oh my gosh, this is an amazing movie.
Oh, that's cool. That's
cool. Yeah. So it was popular. And I liked it because, well, for one thing, I would never have watched it otherwise, as I say, with the connection to Tokyo Godfathers. But I liked the whole idea of just telling a Christmas story in a different way.
Mm, yeah.
Using these three men and a baby.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they're not afraid about connecting it with the Bible.
Yeah, there was no fear whatsoever about that. You know?
And John Wayne is definitely not religious.
Okay.
He scoffs at it through the whole movie.
Oh, I thought you meant in real life. I didn't know. He is in real life.
No, in the movie.
Okay, in the movie, yes.
Robert
Townsend. In fact, he actually said, there was a line or something that said, this will happen when I get religion or something.
Yeah.
Like that. You know, it's like it's going to be forever away.
Yeah, right.
He'll never get it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the three characters are, there is John Wayne's character, and he is Robert Bob
Hightower,
Townsend.
Yeah. And no, there's
Hightower.
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought Townsend. I don't know. Hightower.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, oh my gosh.
Pedro.
That guy's name.
Yeah.
Pedro.
Pedro Rocafuerte, it says.
Of course.
And that's his character name.
He only gets called Pedro.
Right.
And he is obviously a longtime associate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bob Townsend, or Bob Hightower. Mm-hmm. Golly. John Wayne. And then there's the Abilene Kid.
The Abilene Kid.
William.
Right.
Who is, you know, he's got a career, obviously, because there's a wanted poster with his picture on it, and he's got a name like the Abilene Kid. And yet he is the innocent young guy in a lot of ways. You feel like this is a fork in the road for him.
Yeah.
If he goes with John Wayne, and he's going to continue a career of crime, because John Wayne's like, you don't have to do this. Oh, no, I want to do it.
Oh, I'm in. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in. And then at the same time, he's the one who knows the religious songs. He says, well, let's look in the Bible for guidance.
Yeah.
You know, it's just open to hear. Let's read what it says. So he's the one who's, if somebody can be pure, he's the most pure of the three of them.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I love that, again, that scene with the sheriff when you don't know he's the sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells the sheriff's wife, yeah, I'm the Abilene Kid. You know, just so proud. This is a cool name that I've got. And then the sheriff goes to his internet and looks it up, which is a pile of papers.
He's
looking through a stack of papers. He's really slow, just one at a time. Ah, there it is. I knew I had heard that name.
Yeah.
Wanted poster. Yeah.
At the time they hear gunshots.
That's right. And then they're robbing the bank.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can see that John Wayne has some scruples because he's like, don't shoot. He leaves the kid outside to hold the horse. He's like, don't shoot. Whatever you do, don't shoot.
Yeah, don't shoot anybody. Right.
Ironically, he's the one who gets shot. And Pedro's out there shooting it up as he's leaving.
Yeah, shooting in the air and stuff. Well, yeah, actually, I don't know if he was shooting at people or just... It wasn't in the air, was it? It was like down the road, but I don't think he was shooting people.
Yeah, and until they heard the shot, the sheriff wouldn't have gone running down there.
Yeah,
but
maybe
Pedro didn't shoot first. I don't know.
That's right.
Anyway.
So, yeah. And then I really liked this part of the movie. I also liked, you know, they find the baby. It's like 2/3 of the way in or something, which changes the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I did enjoy the movie up till then as well, and I enjoyed it after. You know, they were like sort of, I don't know, tonally different or something. The movie changed timber, I guess, at that point where they find that wagon.
Because in one sense, it almost turns into three men and a baby. You know, it's that idea of a baby can soften up the toughest guy.
Yeah, and their focus changes from survival. It's like changes from selfishness to selflessness. Because now they're not worried about their own survival anymore. They're worried about this baby's survival. 100%. You know, it's just, you know, where are we going to get water to? How are we going to save this baby? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and they're so tender with the mother.
Yeah.
In that wagon. I was really touched by that. The second time through, I liked it well the first time, and that's why I picked it. But the second time through, I really enjoyed it even more because I was able to watch more of the men's reactions to things. And some of the shots that they got were just amazing.
Mm.
You know, the tone that was set by the scenery and everything. But you're right. It's that, that's a great point that they're just thinking about themselves and survival. And suddenly they're all focused on these other people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, John Wayne became more energetic, you know, now he's looking for water. It's not for himself. It's for somebody else. And that just kind of spurs him into action. He starts to hack at cactuses and things.
Right.
Yeah. That speech he gave too. A cool part about this is that the sheriff blocks all their sources of water, like you said. And the sheriff was way smarter than they thought. And it was cool, the respect that the sheriff had for John Wayne. He was like, you know, I can't wait to play chess with him.
Yes.
That was an interesting little thing there, too. But it was like this little chess game where the sheriff was out guessing. He's like, okay, where are they going to go? You know, that's why he wasn't in a hurry to get after him. And when he took a shot at him, he wasn't interested in killing them either. What he did is shoot their water bag so that he knew they'd be out of water. And then now that he knew they were out of water, he knew that where they were going to go. And then that's where he focused his efforts.
Yeah, because he kept saying, I don't want them dead. I want to take them to jail. Yeah. Don't shoot them.
Right.
Until later on when they come upon the wagon and they misconstrue the evidence of what happened.
Right, right.
And then he's like, that's it. Kill him. Yeah. Let's go find him. We're going to kill him. Because they're not the people I thought they were, in essence.
Exactly.
But he was ready to be charitable in his interpretation until then.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he was. He was seeing him as an adversary and almost a pleasant one.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, this is what we do. We're going to dance a little bit and it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he
was having a good time. They weren't killing people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And exactly. So that was an interesting aspect to me. So the sheriff covers the first place where he, you know, the obvious place to go. And then he covers the next obvious place to go. And of course, the three guys do end up in that first place. And then now John Wayne realizes that this guy is smart, and now they start to think beyond the obvious, and they decide to go in a place where they think the sheriff would actually not think of, and they went there, and that's where they found the wagon.
Right.
And that to me, you know, that struck me, that's one of those things where, you know, God places you in the right place at the right time. Even though your circumstances could be horrible or not ideal in a way, and then suddenly you end up someplace where you feel like you need to be.
I agree. It was that idea of, it was ironic because if they hadn't committed the crime, they wouldn't have gone on the lam and found the pregnant woman.
Right.
And so their crime, in a sense, saves the baby's life.
Yeah.
And at the same time, by the end of the movie, the baby has saved them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, love it.
Yeah, so it's a really...
Yeah, the baby saves our souls, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's a lovely sense of, you know, it's just a great story of redemption in that way.
Yeah.
And like you say, it's, you know, you're doing bad things, but God will just use it to nudge you, you know, in a different way.
That's right. Yeah, and the sheriff's part of it too, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if he wasn't such a good adversary and pushing them in that direction,
right,
it wouldn't have happened.
God's instruments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
Yeah. Yeah. Let us be your instrument.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. You know, we don't, you know, I don't personally think, you know, God doesn't move us around like chess pieces. You know, I think that removes free will. So, but this nudging, you know, it's something I've experienced. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just thought they portrayed that so well, you know.
Well, and I also have, and you usually only see it when you're looking in retrospect.
Mm-hmm.
Although these guys, what with the Bible and them going, I can't make it, you've got to help me. They have their direct evidence, but
yeah.
It's that idea that you do have free will. They didn't have to help that woman. Mm. They didn't have to take that baby with them. If they were truly, truly bad men, and we know there are bad people like that, they could have just left everything and gone on and taken care of themselves.
Right. Yep.
They also had free will in this.
They did. They did. And they chose that. And that's what makes it important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they embraced it. I mean, they saw that little helpless baby. And the fact that that woman didn't ask questions about who they were or why they came. Of course, she was kind of busy having a baby and dying. Mm-hmm. But naming the baby after them made them all take this sense of fatherhood in the baby.
Right.
Because it was one of my favorite little running gags was, you know, John Wayne would say, young Robert here. And the Evelyn kid would go, Robert William. And Pedro would say, Robert William Pedro.
That's right.
Every time.
Yeah, that was good stuff. Yeah. And I remember John Wayne giving that speech, you know, when he went and checked out the area around the wagon, and then he went back and kind of reported to those guys, and this very melodramatic, you know, there I was down there, and it was amazing, and this guy who didn't know what the heck he was doing, he did this and that. But yeah, he ruined the whole water source and everything.
Yeah, this tenderfoot thinks he's going to help it out with dynamite, and he blows a hole in the bottom of the reservoir, and then we'll get water. And now he's killed all these people who will depend on it for water for years to
come. Exactly. He's going to continue to kill people.
Mad as at that tenderfoot as the sheriff was when he thought they had done it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, he was. He was.
And the movie in that case is the screenplay is really well done in the sense that in using what we know about how the water source went out, when the sheriff comes and gives his interpretation of the story, he blames it on them. He thinks they did it maliciously.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just to be clear, when the sheriff comes upon it, the woman is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and it's his
I didn't even know. Did he know that? I'm trying to remember because they buried the woman.
Does she have a red dress?
Does it have this on it?
Because she got married on the 4th of July.
That's right. Yep.
He knew who it was. It was his wife's niece who they were waiting for to get to wherever.
Yep. That's right. So I just couldn't remember if he saw any body or anything, but he did not. The three guys really took care of her. You know, they made her a grave and everything. And
right, they were just looking at the clothing.
And they even sang at the funeral.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what got sung at the funeral was "Gather at the River." This is a bit off tangent, but music is really important in this movie. I mean, there's nothing wasted in this movie, really, and so. It starts off, and the tune is "The Streets of Laredo." And I don't know if you know that song.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
My mother used to sing it around the house all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's about the young cowboy who's gone wrong, and he's dying. And so then it gets sung as a lullaby later by the Abilene kid when he's walking the baby, and he's not doing well. You know, he's thinking of himself. He's sorry. But at the funeral, he sings "Shall We Gather at the River," and evidently this is one of John Ford's favorite songs, and he worked it into every one of his movies that he could.
Oh, wow.
But in this one, they're at her funeral, but they are desperately themselves in need of water, and they're desperately themselves in need of the redemption that would come with baptism.
Hmm. Yes.
So it's a nice little touch.
Yeah, and that's the water, too, is part of that, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're searching for water the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And even when they get to this place, the water is gone. The water's not there. But, this redemptive thing leads them to the water.
Yeah.
Interesting. Love it.
Yeah. And that's any movie where they're like, open the Bible and see what it says. You know, they're not missing the water symbolism.
Mm-hmm.
They're seeing it. But what I was going to say about the sheriff, and I'm sorry, I kind of got off topic, was that in hindsight, that's kind of a moment you already are on the robber's side because they're trying to save the baby and you know it. But when the sheriff suddenly says, those dastardly devils, they did this. And he's like, that's it. Shoot to kill.
Hmm.
All of a sudden, they've turned into the bad guys.
Yeah. Interesting.
And the bank robbers are the good guys because we've got a point of view that they don't have. The robber or the sheriff doesn't have.
Wow.
And yeah. So Ford flips it at that point. You want them to get away. You know that they're not going to be nice. You know, later on when he's in that canyon calling for Pedro and William and the sheriff can hear, you're just like, no.
Yeah, yeah. That harkens back to, the thought about information, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's acting on the information he has and he thinks that he's right. And he wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not stopping to get any other story. He just has to act on that.
Right, right. So it's a little warning, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, well, yeah, God asks us to be, you know, to love our neighbors and everything, right?
Right.
And, yeah, it's also, you know, the death penalty is in there too, where we don't know, you know, we don't know for sure, right?
Right.
And that's a problem. That's a big problem.
Well, and the other thing too is even short of the death penalty, just looking at this, well, I guess because he's calling a death penalty on them and he's within mm-hmm. his rights to do it. But if he maintained his first attitude, even though he's very angry at them and says, well, we need to catch them and get the evidence. Not doing that. He's letting his emotions carry him away. You're right.
Right, right.
Because he's made his own conclusions.
Yep. Based on what he believes the facts to be.
Right.
Right. Which.
Yeah, so we have to be careful how we interpret information.
Yeah, and we have to be open to the fact that maybe we don't have it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting stuff. Yeah, there's a lot here. And comedy, too. John Wayne made me laugh three or four times.
Yeah.
There's just things that he said. But the greasing up the baby, that had to be up there.
Oh. I also like he's insisting this baby needs a bath.
That's right. That's right.
Like, it's okay for us to go for a week. Or longer, yeah. But not a little new baby. Come on.
Absolutely. And they're like, you know, just dying for water. And this guy's like, hey, let's use some of that for this.
Yeah. And there's no way. Yeah, exactly. What you squeezed out of the cactus,
mm-hmm.
essentially.
Right, right. But yeah. But yeah, John Wayne, he can be funny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Definitely. Yeah. So, this was Harry Carey Jr.'s first movie, and he made a ton of movies, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he had a long career after that. Wow, yeah. That's funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow, he lived to 91 years old, Harry Carey.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and I was just looking at his stuff. He was in things like The Exorcist and Legion, playing Catholic priests near the end of his career. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny because I'd always heard the name of both him and his father. I guess I don't think I'd stopped to distinguish between them. But. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so it seems to me though the last Old Western we did had them breaking into song as well. Who was that? Who was that?
Was that Ricky Nelson and Dean?
Yeah, Martin? That was it. That was it. Ricky Nelson.
Yeah.
It reminded me of that. And I was like, yeah, I don't know if this is him really singing or if it's, you know, dubbed in with someone else.
I think it was him.
Yeah.
You notice he did all the heavy lifting for everyone on that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, it was kind of worked in to be a natural part of the story. I mean, you're singing at a funeral.
Mm-hmm.
You're singing when you're walking the baby. You're kind of humming a little song to it.
Yep.
They weren't just sitting there in the, you know, in the sheriff's office going, hey, I've got a guitar. I know. Let's all sing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And that's part of it too, is the movie manages to change tones, as you say, halfway through, but still seem part of a cohesive whole, because in some ways it's gritty, but it's tender.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it can be funny too.
Right.
Because
right.
that's part of letting us see who the people are.
Yeah. Also. And then it changes tone again, at the very end.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah. So once Hightower finally makes it to the saloon, and then the sheriff busts in and says, "Draw, we're going to shoot it out right here." And then he faints, and then the sheriff realizes, you know, at some point after that, that we don't see, he got the whole story. And mm-hmm. then we see them after, you know, he's in jail and they're playing chess.
Yeah.
And not only that, but the sheriff has him at his house for dinner, you know, mm-hmm. Lunch is ready. Let's go.
Let him finish his chicken before he goes to the courthouse. Come on. They're very solicitous of him.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he saved the baby.
Right.
And they know the story now.
And it's his kid. He's like,
yeah,
this is mine. I guess they can have it as long as they educate him and all the other stuff that he said. I don't know about permanent.
Yes.
I thought that was pretty touching too. He's like, I don't know about permanent. You know, you'd think that he would want someone to take care of the kid and so that he wouldn't have to worry about the kid anymore. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't how he was at all. He was like, I'm taking full responsibility. And, he is going off to prison, so someone needs to take care of the kid. But you get the impression that he's coming back to take him.
When
he's done with prison, he's going to come back and raise that kid.
Because of the adoption papers that they want him to sign and all, to give the baby to the uncle and aunt. Well, and also, I think that goes back to the promise he made to a dying woman. And that's what the three of them say the whole time they're going through the desert, and one of them flags, it's always John Wayne. Mm. And one of them will say, you're going to break a promise you made to a dying woman.
Mm-hmm.
And even at the end, when he's at his worst, he's practically dead and he's hearing voices.
Yeah.
You know, saying,
and they rise him up.
You're going to break the promise you make to a dying woman. No. And he gets up off of his knees and staggers on.
Yep.
And I liked that part because all the things that the voices were saying, which were the voices of his two dead partners, were the things that they'd said previously to him in conversation. So it could be them encouraging him. It could be his own memory. Yeah. You're free to interpret. And then they show kind of their ghosts going on and encouraging him. Yeah. And even then, when does he pass out or fall down? Whatever happens right before, I think the mule shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Or the donkey and the colt and the baby show up to make sure we get the point, as the Bible has come open to Jerusalem and the Bible and the donkey and the colt carrying Christ, they disappear.
Yeah.
So again, you don't know if they're real or in his mind.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And then the idea that, you know, they're, falling away, you know, and there's one left, you know, that was pretty good too, you know.
One by one.
One by one, they fall. Yeah.
Yeah. And they keep going, I'll carry the baby. And I'm just like, okay, you can hardly walk yourself. You're dying from your bullet wound, and you're going to carry this new baby. And then Pedro's carrying the baby and falls down and breaks his leg. And I'm like, the baby, what's going on with it? But they always manage to realistically fall, but yet they're protecting the baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank goodness. And that was a really new baby they showed. I mean, occasionally it was a doll, but when they were holding an actual baby, that was a really new baby.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so. Sure was. That's something.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very good stuff. Man, I liked it. Yeah.
Well, also, I wanted to mention, too, and I mentioned this earlier, but, you know, the beauty of how it shot. And they did what they could also with things like, you know, that big sandstorm that they're in.
Yeah.
It almost looks like snow to me.
Huh.
I mean, it's shot in Technicolor, but that sand is white. And it's very stark looking during the sandstorm and when they're going down the dunes that are full of, well, they're sand dunes. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. so it almost looked like snow, which is what, of course, I associate with Christmas, even though
yeah.
the real Christmas well, would have been in the Middle East.
That's excellent.
And there's a point where, let me see where my note is. They're leaving the wagon. They've got the baby. They're leaving, walking on foot. The star is far away. And in the background is the cross lying there for the mother.
Yeah, yeah.
And the men are in between the star and the cross. This is the promise that they can fulfill if they're determined.
Mm.
I mean, there were a lot of nice moments like that where it was really, you know, the scenery was very evocative to help the symbolism forward.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I saw that too. That was really a great moment.
There were also a lot of really wonderful little moments too, where, and I think this is why I enjoyed it more the second time, because you had time to notice things like when Harry Carey Jr. is dying,
mm-hmm.
and Pedro's talking to him, but John Wayne's standing back there. I think he might be holding the baby, but he's holding his hat up to shield his face from the sun.
Hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And, when the tap is dripping, the water tank in the desert.
Yeah.
And they're just showing it drip. I'm like, why are they letting it drip? And then they show the men. I'm like, oh, I get it.
Mm.
This is why it's dripping. Because they would never leave it like that. And watching the man get his drink of water, kind of just rinse his mouth out, spit it out. And here's these guys dying of thirst.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just these little moments that maybe take just a minute or two. But they say a lot that you don't have to say in words.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. That's good stuff. It's like they've separated themselves from the water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Of through their own doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And it's right there. It's right there.
Well, they have to turn themselves in and live the right life. But yep. they're not going to do that.
It's just right there. Oh, just yep. go get it. Yep. For sure. Yeah. Really mm-hmm. good. I love it. Yeah. And this is not the kind of stuff that they make anymore.
No.
Kind
no
of a double, right?
No
yeah. It's Christian. It's Christian explicitly so, you know, or unabashedly so, I would say.
Yeah.
And it's a Western.
Right.
Yep. Two things that they don't make often.
I know. They don't really make Westerns anymore, though. I was just watching the first episode of Westworld.
Mm.
And which I think is shot in Utah. It was so beautiful
oh,
everywhere
cool.
they were, the mm-hmm. new series, and relatively new to me.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, what I was thinking is they're showing all these establishing shots of, you know, here's some cowboys and bringing the cattle in at night and all this stuff. And I thought, oh, this is the modern Western. They're not making Western movies, but they'll make things like Justified, which is kind of a riff on it, but they'll make this, which every stunt writer is like, yes, I can be on TV again, or I can do this work again.
Mm, yeah.
You know, being in a Western.
That's cool.
I know.
Yeah.
We kind of crave them in a way. They're that wonderful morality tale.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a interesting place to tell a story. You know, your authority is local. You're separated from the rest of society.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, yeah, you're kind of on your own out there, I guess, you know,
well,
it's a good place to tell stories.
Yeah. You and in this case, God, I mean,
mm-hmm.
think of, St. Paul on the road to Damascus.
Yeah.
Thunderstruck by God.
Mm-hmm.
And then what is he going to do with it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And in this case, these guys are given this responsibility,
right,
that they can't turn their backs on.
Yeah. Now in the wilderness, I mean, shows up mm-hmm. so often, you know, mm-hmm. in the Bible, you know.
Oh yeah.
John the Baptist, and then Jesus goes out there, and so John the Baptist kind of comes out of the wilderness, I guess, and
mm-hmm.
and Jesus goes out to the wilderness for his 40 days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the old West.
Yeah. You know, Moses. Way,
it's clarifying.
Elijah, all these prophets, and yeah, exactly. It's it's you and the elements. And I mean, even in the Bible, I'm trying to think, was it Elijah who was on the run from, and that's when he's in the cave and God whispers to him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in the fire. There was a small whisper.
Right.
That was God. Yeah. And that's why this story works, I think, is because it evokes all those things. And of course, it's a more obvious telling than that, but it's, and it touches all the things we like. I mean, who doesn't like to see a big, strong man being tender with a mother or a baby, or even his wounded friend who's in his charge, essentially, because he's younger. He was taking care of William.
Yeah, he was, he really was. He, you know, constantly gave him water and knew that they were going to run out and didn't take any himself.
And he was responsible, and he, because he was responsible, it was his plan.
Yeah.
So
right.
I did love the moments, like it was funny where they were going, well, Pedro, you've got a woman, right? She's had some kids. Well, yeah, but she's Indian. They just kind of, I don't know, they don't need help. And I'm like, and on the one hand, it shows a very old way of thinking about things, but also the other old way of thinking about things is guys weren't involved in that stuff.
Right, right.
You know?
Yep.
In that sense, you kind of think, poor Pedro, he was kind of playing Saint Joseph in a way. There is no one here. All right. I'll do what I can.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, that's a good thought. But yeah, you're right. And he was earnest, you know. He's like, okay, I'm gonna go do that. And and he did.
And kind of the way he goes up to the that real hesitant way he goes up to Senora.
Hello.
I also liked that they had him in some tender moments speaking Spanish.
Yeah.
He says, "Our Father, Nuestro Señor."
Yes. Yeah.
In Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And we know enough to follow along, very basically. Right. But if we do, but in 1948, I don't know how many of American audiences would have known that.
Yeah.
But he will say things in Spanish, and they don't stop and translate it later often.
Right. Yeah, he also swore in Spanish.
Yes.
I don't know if those were real words or not, but
I don't know. If so, you get around the censors that way.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and at the end, I wanted to say, when John Wayne is being taken off to prison after the lightest possible sentence,
yes.
Mm-hmm. The banker's daughter is like, "Well, I'll be here waiting for you, honey." And one eligible woman that scene. Anyway, they're singing Bringing in the Sheaves.
Bringing in the Sheaves, nice.
Yeah, and that's the harvest.
Yeah.
You know, it's the harvest of what's been grown over this time period.
Oh,
he's
cool.
Redeemed. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, the music is very carefully picked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and not just for the tune.
Right. Exactly, because there's no reason for them to stand there at the train station and sing that.
Yeah. And then what about, didn't they play Silent Night after he came into the saloon?
Oh, they did, because when the baby was there on the bar, the piano player kind of turned around with a big smile and started playing Silent Night.
That's right, yeah.
Because it was Christmas Eve.
That's right. Yeah.
I did like also, and this was really true to life, of course, but he turns around when the sheriff comes and then collapses. And all the women, you know, the you know, barkeep ladies, they all rush to the baby.
They do, yeah. I saw that and I noticed it. Yep. That was good stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody's had their priorities there.
Yeah. I love that. I like to think that that was one of those things where the actresses were like, you know, I'd go over there. Can I go over there? That's what I would do. And John Ford was like, yeah, sure. Everybody go there.
John Wayne always, or John Ford, they say, never did storyboards, but he knew mentally how he wanted every single scene to go.
Hmm.
So you kind of get the feeling he's one of those directors. If they ran over there, it's because he told them to do it.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Lots of Hollywood stories.
Yep. Yeah, and I was kind of looking through John Ford's life, and it was interesting to me because he made more than 140 movies in over 50 years.
Wow.
But It says that he's widely regarded as one of the most important and influential filmmakers of his generation, which surprised me because I was thinking of him as, you know, he did those Westerns with John Wayne. Mm. I liked some of them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's like, that's interesting. And then it says his work was held in high regard by his colleagues, with Orson Welles and Ingmar Bergman among those who have named him as one of the greatest directors of all time.
How about that? Wow.
And I think it's possibly this ability with even this simple movie, when you watch it more than once, you see the artistry that's been put into the cinematography. You see the care that's been taken in developing the storyline. Because, for instance, in the novella, there is no sheriff storyline.
Hmm.
It is just these guys on the run.
Mm-hmm.
And so it works perfectly well, but John Ford added that.
Interesting.
And the other interesting thing about thinking about storytelling and what's done with this basic tale is that in the novella, the story doesn't, for one thing, the bad man played by John Wayne is not the one who's makes it. They all know that the young one is the one who's going to make it. He's young and strong, and he's not been shot in the original story. So they changed that around. So the one who needed redemption the most is the one who made it to the end.
Interesting.
Because what they're all worried about is, we've led this guy astray, say the two older ones. So they start talking to him and telling him how he needs to do the right thing now in the future, not be like them in the novella.
Yeah. Hmm.
And it's left open-ended. He goes into the bar. He makes it to the bar with the baby and collapses. And that's all you see. That's the end of the story. So you're left to kind of conclude what might happen to him. And in the movie version of this that was made before this one, so maybe was it like 1936 or something? I was reading a summary of it. And it was saying that in that one, what they do is the last bad man who's left with the baby comes to a water hole, and he knows he can't make it to the town without water, but he also can see evidence that the water hole is poisoned.
Hmm.
So he's like, okay, do I just try and keep going ahead and do it? Or do I drink the water and get the baby there knowing I'm doing myself in? And he does that. So there they pick a more sacrificial role of redemption.
Interesting.
Whereas in this movie, it's more of the feel-good ending, so we can see the fruit that will be taken on.
Yeah.
By the person who's allowed to live through the redemption.
Wow. Yeah, and I looked it up. The writer of that novella was Peter B. Kine.
Mm-hmm.
K-Y-N-E.
Yeah.
Nice.
And it's available. I can't remember if I got it from Project Gutenberg or if I think Amazon has it for 99 cents, something like that, for the Kindle. So it's really, I enjoyed it a lot.
Cool.
But it was interesting to see the differences in that and then the storytelling choices that are made for the movie based on what the director wants to do. It's the same story, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. So he wrote it in 1916.
Yeah. Okay.
But fascinating. That's really neat info. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he wrote a lot of things. I was just looking it up.
Yeah, and the funny thing is that this one, to me, took off the way it did, to have all those movies made
of it. Yeah.
That it resonated with people.
Yeah, it definitely resonated. That's right.
Yeah. I know, I went ahead and bought it. I think it was just $5 or something. But I just thought, you know, I think I want this in my Christmas movie rotation.
Heck yeah, it's good. It's definitely one to have. It's fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So, but yeah.
Anything else?
Very cool. No, I can't think of anything else. Just appreciation for, one, picking this movie, and two, this is the end of our year.
Oh, yeah.
This is, so... Another, so I greatly appreciate you. You know, I've enjoyed this year again, as everyone in previous. Yes, so thank you.
I feel the same. I mean, I was thinking just yesterday, I was thinking, what would happen if we quit doing this podcast? And I was like, I don't even want to think about it. Yeah. I just enjoy it too much.
I do too. And I really, you know, I enjoy your company very much.
Oh,
And not only that, but yeah, just how it makes me look at things that I'm reading and I'm watching. Yeah, I think it's excellent for me personally. So, well, thank you.
Oh, yep. You're welcome. And, you know, I mean, this mutual admiration society for everybody. But I mean, it's the same for me. I think one of the reasons I liked watching this movie a second time so much is because I knew we'd be talking about it. Mm. It made me watch more attentively and think about it more. And then you bring up things, of course, as you do every time, that wouldn't have occurred to me. So it's, I just...
vice versa. Yeah. Enjoy it.
Yeah. So...
time well spent.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah.
Me too. And so this is the end of, 7 years?
Yes. I think you're right.
Golly.
Season 7.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll start again mid-ish January.
Mid-January, right.
With a special guest.
That's right. Yep. Heck yeah. I'm looking forward to that very much. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Me too. Well, thanks for listening, everybody.
And, thank you. And thanks for another great year together.
Yes, thank you. And we'll be back soon.
Yes.
Right.
We'll talk to you in a couple weeks. Well, no. Yeah. We'll talk to you in a month.
In a month or so, right. Merry Christmas, a little more than a couple weeks, but Merry Christmas to everybody.
Yes.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.